appreciated the songs we sang, the devotion, and I'm sure Brother Silas didn't know that I was going to start out from the book of Proverbs. And Solomon, I think at least 10 times in the book of Proverbs, he says, "My son, my son." I just get that, at least I imagine, Solomon as an older man, probably white hair, and with feeling and affection, said, "My son, my son." Saying, "I want to tell you something," and we're going to be speaking to sons and daughters tonight, but I believe he's saying, "I want to tell you something. I've been down this road before. I know what's there. And if you'll listen, you'll save yourself a lot of trouble. There's no need for everybody to have to run the experiment of life. If you listen to the older ones, if you listen, you'll save yourself a lot of grief." And so all scattered through the book, Solomon would say, "My son, my son." The purpose of the book of Proverbs is found in chapter 1, verses 2 through 7. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he talks about that, all those verses, but says, "To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion." Two purposes here in this book of Proverbs. And one is to give moral discretion. And moral, as we talked about, was right and wrong. And discretion is to know the difference between right and wrong. So he's telling us what's right and wrong, and also to help us to understand the difference between right and wrong. And also to help us understand clearly in our minds what will happen if we do right or wrong. If we know that if we do this, then this is going to happen, won't that help us to know whether we should do this or not? And you fill in the blanks there. Wisdom has to do with skill. See, wisdom and understanding complement each other. If you have wisdom and no skill, that's just lacking, isn't it? Wisdom has to do with skill. Understanding means discipline. So we need skill and discipline. We're going to talk about discipline in a little bit. But no skill is perfected without discipline. And this is what the proverb writer is trying to get across to the readers. If we have, quite a number of you probably enjoy to go hunting. And so if you have the skill of a marksman, and you can just, hit the crosshairs at 300 yards, but yet you don't have the discipline to sight your gun in, see what happens? You miss. So we need both. No skill is perfected without discipline. I'm going to tell you something else before we get started. Oh, and I titled it "Things I Wish I Had Known When I Was Young." That's what I called the message. And I said, when I preached it at Dublin, I told them that I wish somebody would have told me. And then I got to thinking, you know what? Probably did. Somebody probably did tell me, and I was, thinking something else, or it went in that ear and out the other one. And you know how that is. So I just say things I wish I had known when I was young. I want to tell you, there's three types of people, at least. I got three categories here that I wrote down. And number one category is those that put heart and soul into finding the right path. That's what we want all of you to be. That's one kind of people. The second category of people are those that are haphazard about life. and just whatever, you know, just whatever. Just, oh yeah, church members, but not an intense interest in finding out and discerning the ways of God and finding God's path for your life and finding out what it takes to make life fulfilling so we can come to a godly end. Just kind of whatever, those kind of people. And then, of course, there's the third group, those who disdain God's way and just have a hatred for it. Live for self and not for God. So I ask you the question, which do you want to be? You know, I have confidence in you that you want to be those that put heart and soul into finding the right path. And that's why you have teachers that came why your parents are wanting you to come to Bible school, to apply yourself to instruction, to learn what's going to help you on through life. So we say again, my son, or my daughter. Now, I think I'm going to have the Bible school students stand. Have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs 3. And I'm going to have you take turns reading your verses. Stand as soon as you can stand now. And I'm going to have, we're going to take turns reading. Follow along closely. Rochelle, would you start reading verse 1, and we'll just come down the line and right across to the boys and back. Proverbs 3, verse 1. You know, we could just keep on reading in Proverbs and be blessed and learn from it. Just a couple things I wanted to point out in this proverb, in these proverbs, in this chapter. I want to emphasize just a couple of verses and 5 and 6, very familiar. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And I want you to consciously think about that right now. And think about your desire as you're getting to the age of life where, you know, as you grow and mature and you start to spread your wings and you become men, you become women, you make decisions. And you're going to hear some things tonight that you're going to need to do. Now, do you really want this as personal to you? Are you going to accept this? Yes, I want to trust in God with all my heart. And realize that your own understanding is way weak. And acknowledge God in everything. And God, please direct my path. I want you to think about that consciously. Which of those three groups do you want to be? What about today, acknowledging that we need God to direct our path? Tomorrow, when you go look for a job, when you think of some voluntary service, when you buy a truck, when you go think about teaching school, when you think about a companion, go to God for everything. Be God conscious in your life. Don't use God as a spare tire. You know, he's in the trunk and you want him there and hope you never have to use him because you've gone on with life. That's what we do with spare tires, right? Sad day when we have to change a tire in the middle of nowhere. Don't treat God like that. You remember, no, y'all don't remember 9/11. I guess you don't. No, that one, no. 2001, no, most of you weren't born, right? And people were saying, well, where was God? Somebody answered so wisely, I thought, well, where was he yesterday in your life? All I want is when we get to a bad spot in the road, then we need God. All right, think about it. That's 5 and 6. Down in 13 and 14, I want to point this out yet. Happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. For the merchandise of it, what's the it it's talking about there? If you get wisdom, when you get wisdom, is better than the merchandise of silver and gain thereof than fine gold. So, if you want a fulfilled life, if you want to find the keys for life, look for wisdom. And you'll have, your life will be way more fulfilled than if your drive is for what? Stuff, things, toys, money, fortune, fame, popularity, all these things. And the more you apply what I've just told you about putting God, making God conscious in your life, the more fulfilled and content you'll be. And the more you try to find that fulfillment in the clutter and the pleasure of life, the emptier you will be at the close of your days. Now, I would like to tell you some things that I consider very important for young people to learn. And I want you to just listen and ponder. And I like to see that some of you take notes. Some of you do. That's a good practice. It helps keep your mind out of the deer stand and all those other places, right? You know what I'm talking about. I don't know what girls think about, but there are more of them taking notes. Sorry. But point number one is learn to discipline yourself. I wish somebody had stressed that even harder to me. My dad had a way of teaching discipline to me. But when you learn to discipline yourself, then you don't have to have somebody tell you every morning when it's time to get out of bed, do you? Aren't you about old enough? And I don't know any of you here, if your dad got to drag you out of bed or whatever. But you know, really, you're old enough to discipline yourself, and you probably most of you even have a phone that has an alarm on it. I kind of think so. But you don't have a phone that pulls you out of bed, do you? But discipline yourself. Now, that's just one thing. But you can tell when you're growing up, when nobody has to tell you to get up, fix your bed, tidy up your room, take your dirty laundry up, keep hurrying up, get your chores done, hurry up, it's time to go. These are just little things, but discipline, where you know what time church starts, you know what time you got to go to school, whatever. I want to ask you something. Discipline. We discipline ourselves when we don't feel like doing something and we know we need to get it done, and it's like, discipline yourself. Yeah, we got to go do it. Do you think big people always feel like going to work? Or maybe do you ever think about it? Maybe mom doesn't always feel like getting up and cooking breakfast. Discipline is mastering your feelings, doing because you know it's the right thing and needs to be done, and so you do it. If you live by your feelings, you will, I would say, most of us don't just naturally feel like doing the right things. Comes time to go to bed and we feel like staying up, right? Come time to get up, we feel like staying in. I don't know why it's that way. You won't always feel like reading your Bible. You won't always feel like taking time to pray. But do you know when you don't feel like it is when you need it the most? It's when you need it the most. Do you know that Jesus didn't always feel like doing what he needed to do? You remember when he was in the garden and he prayed, "Oh Father, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, what you will." So learn to do what is right, even when you don't feel like it. You need to learn to be a self-starter so your boss doesn't need to have to be a crank. Maybe you don't know what the cranks were, but I remember tractors that had a big old crank on them, and you put it up in the front on the crank shaft, and you gave it a mighty spin to get it started. Well, that was the crank, and you always took care of that crank. Well, you be a self-starter so your boss doesn't have to be a crank. Number two is be a good steward. A steward is one who's been entrusted with another's goods. Be a good steward. Who owns the world? God. Who owns the United States? Who owns your possessions? Thank you. So God owns your pickup, car, wallet, clothes. It's all God's, right? That's what you just told me, and I agree with you. Now, what kind of a steward are we? I thought about it. What if you'd give your little brother a $100 bill and tell him, "Now look, take care of that money. Use it wisely." And you went into a far country and you came back about a week or two later and said, "Okay, Shorty, where's the $100? He said, "Oh man, I had more fun. I bought Coke and Pop and candy and ice cream, and there's nothing left to it." Steward. Would you call that a good steward? Just wasted what you had given him. Well, young people, you need to understand that you live in a very different time than your grandparents did and your great-grandparents. Ones that were raised in the Depression. My mom and dad were both young people through the Depression. Dad would have been 10, 11 years old. Mom not quite that old. And it was hard times. Food was scarce. In fact, my dad's family, my grandpa was so poor that he finally put my dad to another home because he couldn't buy food and clothes and shoes for all the children. And if he had, my dad was 11 years old, and put him over with another family that had money. And so I think he got $1 a week, I believe, for my dad working for this other man. I'm talking about hard times. And do you know that the way we're raised will affect the way we live when we grow up? And the people that came through this when there wasn't enough food, and it wasn't like, "Okay, little Shorty here doesn't like certain kind of food. Okay, well, we'll get you something else." You ate what was set before you because you needed food. And you didn't throw a bunch of it out the back door. So I'm saying all that had an effect on the way these people were raised and the way they lived and what they passed on. And now, like Sarah and I, we're a product of those that lived through that. And I know we didn't live near as tight as what they did. And now there's another generation coming on. And I see, anyway, I go to friends' houses and lights are left on. And, you know, to us that were raised when, you know, you just don't let the lights on unless you're there and need light on. Anyway, and then credit cards came along. I'm talking about being a good steward. We have lots of food and lots of money, and you know, times have changed so much until now it's not. The big problem then was to get food, and now what do a lot of us adults suffer with? Getting too much food. The credit cards come along that we can buy things that we can't afford with money that we don't have. And I want to tell you, young people, don't waste your money and then spend it on a credit card and run up credit card bills and get in a credit card trap. Use number one that we talked about, which was discipline, and save your money. Young man, I'm going to talk just plain to you, but you ought to be saving money. And I don't know, I'm used to people being raised in hard times, and we were young. I gave a lot of my money to my dad. And maybe there's some of you that give everything. I knew back then my dad was generous. I got to keep half of what I earned till I got married. And I knew some people that gave everything back to dad until they got of age. So I don't know, if you're giving everything back to dad for your room and board and to help out in the home, then you probably won't fit into everything that I'm saying here. But those of you in the mainstream of our community today that make money, and if you're wasting it on toys and trinkets and stuff and you're not saving money, you'll probably get into this credit card trap, and you'll finally wind up with the great American dream where you pay the minimum payments and just live from hand to mouth. Don't use your credit card for credit. Pay it on time or you will lose. Don't waste. Learn to save. Ask yourself, do I really need all these toys? When you go to buy things, you know the difference between the men and the boys? It's the price of their toys. Do I really need these things? Is it really... We talked about the image of God, you know, reflecting God's image. Do I really need these things? Is it a good steward? How does God look at this expenditure? And does it bless his kingdom? But you know, today we're in such a throwaway society. I wonder, any of you ever been to a shoe repairman? You had a shoe that messed up and you took it and got it fixed? Probably not. We chunk them even before they get wore out, right? Watch repairment. But see, today it's so different. Used to, you got stuff fixed. I thought about asking you how many of you have worn patch jeans, but I don't want to embarrass anybody because maybe nobody would raise their hand. And some of us have. Things are so different. Young people, you will do yourself a favor if you learn to be frugal. Use your resources wisely. Don't waste. Young women, you can throw it out the back door as fast as, if you ever get married, as fast as your husband brings it in the front door, if you want to. Or you can use your resources wisely. Sarah's done a wonderful job. I make it first, she makes it last. And that's a tremendous blessing. I don't know what I'd do if she'd be a wasteful lady. I don't know what she would do either. But you need to be saving now. If you're spending everything you're making at this stage of life, you'll never be ready for the next. You know, I've told you about so many changes. Another big change is when I was young and I went to buy a car, I didn't have to pay near the amount that you have to. And I went to buy a property, first little place we lived in. I didn't have to pay near what you do now. So yes, you make way more. A couple months before I was going to get married, I didn't have much money. And somebody in Pennsylvania, you know, there's a lot of money up there, they say. Somebody up there offered me $3 an hour to work for them. I was out. I went. In the winter months, wasn't much to do on the farm. And I saved some money. I made money. So things are different, but you're going to need, if you're going to go out and buy a property and get ready for a wife and get ready for... So discipline yourself and use wisely what God has given. Remember, it's His. Oh, I'm going to have to hurry along. Number three. Remember number one, discipline. Number two, be a good steward. Number three is take responsibility. When you were born, you were totally not responsible. You could cry, you could kick, you could scream. You weren't responsible. But as you grew, your parents tried to help you take responsibility. And finally, you get to the place where you say, you know what, if you're old enough to make a mess, you're old enough to clean it up. I heard of a good sign recently that somebody said he felt like taking it to the job. And the sign, maybe Jay wants to put it in the dorm, but the sign says, your mama doesn't work here. Clean up your own mess. Responsibility. You're at the age you need to think about it. You are responsible. You buy a car and you drive like Jehu and you get in trouble. Don't blame the boss for making you work too late or anything else. You might as well brace up and say, I was wrong. You're responsible. You go to places and do things. There's nobody else to blame. It's you. And to parents sitting in the back, don't stick up for your children when they get to that age and blame somebody else when they're wrong. It hinders growth, produces weaklings instead of men and women. You need to learn what the real world's about. Most of our people today, and again, I don't know your story and where you're at, but most of our people today growing up where there's, you know, good homes and good jobs and, you know, just kind of, dad and mom let you just kind of fit in. And do you have any idea what it's going to be like when you're responsible to go rent, let's just say rent a house, pay the utilities, buy your groceries, clean your house, all those things? And I think probably we have erred, I'm talking in generalities now. If you got it really, really tough, you just bear with me. But where we've raised maybe a little softer set, it's just easier. And it's time you learn to take responsibility as you get to this stage and age in life. You need realizing the needs and the responsibilities and privileges that you have. And then do your part to keep those privileges alive and going. I do have a burden for young people, and that you realize the privileges that we have and what it will take to keep it. I wonder, how many of you know what a Form 4029 is? Do you know what it is? Some of you do. Social Security exemption. Why do we do that? Because we don't like to pay 15% Social Security, right? What happened? We told the government, we'll take care of our own people. And they said, well, if you do that, we'll exempt you from Social Security. Because most American citizens have a job, they pay Social Security, they get old, and they start drawing it back in. But we're exempt. And if you work for an employer that is exempt, then you don't have to pay anything. Where's that 15% supposed to go? I know I'm talking more over here because I'm coming to a point. Well, then we come along, and in your lifetime, there was a thing called Obamacare, a medical plan where everybody was supposed to get medical insurance. And I'm not down on the program. I'm telling you, that's not even the point. But I'm telling you, the government said, well, if y'all are going to take care of yourself and you're going to help each other with hospital bills, then you can sign this exemption and you don't have to have that. And I would have guessed probably most of you have that exemption. Because when you were young, that was a couple years back, and you're still under your dad's roof, and they signed the paper. And then I would say quite a few of you, most of you, don't have to have. Let me back up, put it this way. Most of you have church insurance on your car. most of them, not all of us. Now, what does that do? I think is it $5 a year or something? To... Okay, now here's my point, and I should have tallied it up. But if you save the 15%, because we're going to take care of each other, and you don't have to pay health insurance, and that is, I wish I had the figures, but I have friends my age, man and his wife, and he told me how much it costs a month, and it is astounding. And then you can get plans where there's a large deductible, and that brings it down, and a family of four may get by with $600-$800 a month for medical insurance. And then you can go out and buy a car, and there's no insurance on that. So we can maybe even could buy two of them, I guess. Now, here's my point. What's happened? What can happen? And I'm not saying it does, but what I want you to think about, when with all this saving, you have a choice. You can take all that money, and you can take your standard of living, and you can just notch it right on up, way above the average people here in Mississippi, and probably way above the average person in the state, wherever you come from, if you take that money. What are you supposed to do with that money? Why don't you have to pay in the first place? And I want to ask you something. I wanted to get the offering basket up here, but it's not here. But if I come around, okay, it's time for offering. And to start it out, what are you going to do? What point are we talking about? Responsibility. If you want this privilege and you want it to go on, I want every one of you to think about it. When your deacon tells you we have an aid offering and the need is, boy, it's been 400 person or a member, anywhere 3 to 4, I forget exactly, it varies somewhere in there. And that's once a quarter. And we struggle to get it. And I'm like, we can go buy a gun for that amount and a lot more and a lot of other things. Why can't we come up with that? What are we doing with the money, all that money that I'm talking about that we saved? Or did we take that money and we ratcheted up our standard of living and tied ourselves down maybe in some more monthly payments to keep that standard of living up? So in the basket, I really don't have anything. My whole point is responsibility. And if you are the church of tomorrow, and if you don't take that responsibility and understand that I'm responsible and I need to do my part, and I even go just a little step beyond that, because I know there are people that honestly can't. And so we should be willing to even go above our part. I see time, the clock's beating me. Okay, that was take responsibility. Number four is be honest. Be an honest, trustworthy, hard worker. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly his delight. Proverbs 12:24, the hand of the diligent will rule, while the slothful will be put to forced labor. And I want to just tell you, you won't get far in life if you're not a hard worker. Hard work and sweat is a result of man's sin when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. But the good news is you can enjoy your work. It doesn't have to be a grind and a real pain. But most of it is about our attitude about work. And you can pretty much size up a person's attitude when you watch him work. I have a nephew that has a construction business and said he watches the way a young man walks, and he'll about hire or fire according to the walk. You see a young fella just kind of shuffling along, and he barely just move along. Well, my nephew won't hire him. Honest, trustworthy, hard worker. And I understand not all fun. And I believe that whatever occupation you have, I enjoy farming. I just really enjoy it. There's sometimes you get to things, it may take a day or two to do it, that you really don't enjoy. But what are you going to do? Well, go back and apply number one, discipline. It's life. Not everything is going to be fun. Be honest and trustworthy, not telling half-truths to make yourself look good. We had a truck driver one time that I just hired as a young man, and he wanted so hard to please. And he delivered a load of straw, and he made a mistake, which wouldn't have been a big issue at all. I was gone, I think it was up at minister's meeting or something, on the way home, and somehow I got involved and talked to the man, the company where he delivered the straw. And the mistake would have been very forgivable, and you could just overlook it and go on, except he just lied about it to make himself look good. And I was just, I don't know, maybe a little bit ill anyway. And I was like, I'm not going to put up with somebody that lies. And I got home and I told him, took him to the office and paid him and said, I'll take you home, because I've been letting him use my pickup. So I had to take him home. And he was tears in his eyes. But if you can't trust somebody's word, you can't trust them anywhere. Our society is so short on these qualities. Colleges can't produce these. And I assure you, young people, if you're honest and if you're trustworthy and if you're hardworking, there'll be more to work to do than you'll ever get done. I had to think of Brother Jay. Some of you know Brother Jay Martin, our minister. And he just recently got out of the dairy business. And he went to work at the farm store in Dublin. And just about every time I go in there, they just keep singing his praise. One of the owners said, he's just like a breath of fresh air. Why? He's honest. He's trustworthy. He's hardworking. They don't worry about him sitting off around the corner and goofing off. Okay, number five is be respectful. Be respectful. Starts when you're small. But if you've missed it, you could start now. Saying thank you, please. Holding the door open for someone. Say yes, sir, no, sir. And I know that's a Southern thing, and I was raised that way. I told you I went to public school, and there was no options. They didn't give us the choice. They said, well, you little Yankees that moved down here, we'll let you off. It didn't happen that way. And I still, to this day, when I talk to a man, I'm going to say yes, sir, to him. Not everybody has to say yes, sir, but there is a difference between saying uh-huh and uh-uh. And at least a yes or a no. I mean, we did learn phonics in school. We do know how to pronounce the words. But it's about respect. Even the way you dress speaks of respect or disrespect for authority. I remember the hippie movement in the 60s, which was a rebellion against authority. Showed disrespect for society. I remember when the first boys came to school, public school, and the style when the hippies came in, Elvis Presley was in the 50s and the hippies in the 60s, and about along in the mid-60s is when the style started going for boys to have long hair. And they first just let it grow way long in the forehead, and they'd have to keep moving like a cow swatting flies to get the hair up out of their eyes. And this was public schools. But it was disrespect against established authority. So young people, one of the greatest testimonies for Christ is when young people are respectful. It tells volumes about you. And maturity is number six. I only have seven, so Ephesians 4:15 says to grow up in every way into Christ. Don't make decisions like you did when you were a child. How did we do when we were a child? How did we make our... Well, if we felt like it, right? Until mom and dad helped us to decide that we were going to do what we were supposed to do. But that's the way we wanted to make our decisions, was by how we felt. Make decisions by slow, careful consideration, deliberation. Make mature judgments. Don't act like children and want to be treated as an adult. If you act like a child, you'll probably get treated like one. And then kind of boo-hoo because they treat you like a young'un. And if you make wise choices, you'll be trusted. Y'all have to excuse me for some personal examples, but Hebrews 11 was examples of men that were faithful and did good. So I think those are the kind of people we need to look up to. But I think of a young man in one of our churches. I won't call his name. But he's in his 40s. He's not married. He works with CAM when they need him in Nepal, or they need him in Ecuador, or they need him in Colombia. He goes. And you know what? I have never worried about Bruce. Whoops, I told his name. I have never worried about him being bad and getting in trouble. You know why? I learned to trust him. He didn't get in trouble. He used mature judgments. As you mature, you'll see how foolish some of the things are that we did. And it is a part of growing up. And I don't want you to think that I grew up as some mature adult that just happened to change years. I was immature, needed a lot of maturing when I was young. But things like, I've seen young people spinning out of the parking lot, putting it to the floor, you know, squealing tires, driving fast, always wanting attention on me. You know what? That's just immaturity. I want to tell you something else yet on maturity is don't worry about your image. Sometimes we want people, and maybe this one's one over here too, we want people to think highly of us. And so, you know, maybe it affects the way we comb our hair, the way we make our dress, or maybe, you know, our pickup has to have this and that and all this dolled up just right. Because what? Want to be in the cool group? You know what the cool group is? Needing to do all the latest and the greatest so that others think highly of us. I want to tell you, when you keep Jesus first in your life, you don't need to worry about all that. Because when Jesus is the drive of your life, then you want to reflect the image of God and bring glory to Him. And then you'll attract the kind of friends that will encourage you to do that. So what if some snicker and sneer because we don't have the latest styles? And number 7, choose to forgive. Last but not least, choose to forgive. Even now, I'm sure I can say without knowing you that there are things that you struggle with. Somebody has wronged you. Somebody has said something about you. Or maybe authority hasn't been fair with you, you think. And maybe it's true. But you're going to have to learn to forgive in life. And you'll need to decide, and you have two questions. Will I forgive or will I hold a grudge? It's just that simple. And as you grow, your battles will not become less. None of us will be handed an easy life all strewn with flowers on the path. You will face hard things. You will face disappointments. There will be pain from relationships. That's life. And you'll face it over and over. And you can accept the hard thing in your life as from God to grow by it. Or you can stumble around it and over it. And nurse bad attitudes and grudges and bring your life into bondage and misery. And come to the end of life all bitter and distressed from all the hardships of life. Or you can choose to forgive and take these things to God. And just allow Him to carry it. And you can be free in your heart. And you can have joy. You can have a smile on your face. You can even smile through the tears. I'm not saying you won't have hard things. But it is possible to smile through the tears knowing that Jesus is with you. And you can show the sweetness and radiance that comes from a forgiving, loving heart. This one should have been number 1 on the list. Learn to forgive. God bless you, young people. I want you to know that us old people love you. We care a lot about you. We want what's best for you in life. And I am glad for the growth and maturity that we see. And just want to encourage you to continue in that. I want to challenge you to love God. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. I want to encourage you to what? What do you think I'm going to say? I've told you twice already, at least. Thank you. You get 100. Read your Bible. It's God's holy book. You know, we're men. We want to be men and women of the Word. And if we don't read this, we won't know how to live it. So grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. God bless you. It's time to dismiss. Let's stand together for closing prayer.